like you would normally do. All right, how are we today?
Hello.
Welcome to the Real McCoys for another edition of the UW Whitewater Football Quarterback Club show. It's kind of a down note, but we'll get through it and we'll move on as teams normally do, and we'll do the same. My name is Josh Goldberg, Bill O'Leary. We do the radio broadcast for 105.9 The Hog. Pleased to be joined by Warhawk coach Jace Rindle. Let's just kick things off, Coach. Kind of a rough day, probably one of the roughest days for us as a broadcast crew. I'm sure it was rough for you and the players as well, and a long bus ride home with the loss up at UW-Stout. So I guess I don't really know where to start in terms of what we can talk about. So I guess I'll just throw it to you. I mean, I've read the newsletter. A lot of people that have belonged to the quarterback club have as well. So I guess I'll just leave it to you for kind of an opening comment or a statement, I suppose, about kind of recapping things.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for everybody for coming out here at the Real McCoys. Good crowd, and we appreciate the support. Obviously, Saturday didn't go the way that we wanted it to for whatever reason. I think last week we had one of our best weeks of preparation. So going into the game, I think us as a coaching staff felt really good and confident. And then we just didn't execute. And it was kind of like death by a thousand cuts, whether it was, you know, turning the ball over or just missed assignments and open guys running down the field or not catching a return and the ball hitting the ground and then they give the ball back to the opponent at the 15. So it's just things that we got to get cleaned up. But, you know, as I said to a lot of the quarterback club members is that, you know, the best part about Saturday is that everybody on that sideline believed we were going to win that game until the last few snaps. And I think that's something special and that's something that we need to build off of as we push into this week. And, you know, we take on Stevens Point. But we had a training session tonight. The energy was there. The juice was good. Guys were competing and flying around. So I still believe in this team and this program and the direction that we're headed. So, yeah, as bad as that was, but that's part of the process. That's part of the journey. We'll learn, we'll grow, and we'll move forward.
You don't want to relive any of those gut-wrenching moments, but if that's a 3.5-hour bus ride home, how do you and the coaches deal with that? You know, can personally speak for any of the players and how they do that. What do you guys do? Are you already breaking down film? Are you already watching? Are you already making notes? Already planning on what to cover and what to talk about and then how to move forward in those steps? Like, what is that process like on a ride home like that where you have nothing to do but sit and think about what just happened?
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to, well, first of all, you get a little food in you.
Of course.
Some subs, right. So right. You can fill the belly. And then, you know, you're in your thoughts, you're just spinning and chewing on what you could have done differently, how we could have handled this better. Then you put the film on and you watch that, so then you can understand what happened as you watch the film and you look at it. You know, I'm talking to a bunch of colleagues and just talking to a couple coaches, texting back and forth, just trying to figure out how we can clean things up and be better as we move forward.
But are you stopping the film and saying stuff, or are you just letting the film run through and letting them all just watch?
So I was watching the film by myself.
Oh, okay, it wasn't on all the screens on the bus.
Correct,
okay.
Yeah. Just
sorry,
I got Coach Martis's computer that he had hooked up to the hotspot, so I was able to get through all the ODK of offense, defense, and special teams.
All right. And they were talking to a few people about that you knew that you valued their opinion and you wanted to just pick their brains about what's happening.
Absolutely, and I mean, that's kind of the beautiful thing about this sport is, you know, your coaching staffs usually aren't the same every year because it's a pretty competitive profession, so there's a lot of close people that you have out there that you can kind of lean on and ask for advice and in tough situations like this, but, you know, the hard part's the sleepless nights when you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to bed, but
going,
that's what we signed up for, and that's what it's all about.
It's difficult, and going back to your other line, just up in the booth, and we got that ball back with a minute and a half or whatever it was left that we had done the two-minute drill so well previously in the year, we were thinking, man, we're going to go. This is going to come down here, and the Foxy's going to kick it, and we're going to win. And it was, and I guess that made the ending even worse because we were aspiring that was what was going to happen. Always hard to go on the road. Again, they made you march half a mile to get to a locker room. You think they could get one that would be a little bit closer than that. But, I mean, I think, and we discussed, and I'm old, so I'll go. When we go someplace and I know we're playing Mount Union and I see those colors, even though they're the same as ours, my stomach starts to churn and I'm like, boy, I really dislike these guys immensely. I think a lot of the people in this league have that same feeling about us because we are the guys that everybody aspires to beat and wants to have. You know, we could put that on our year. We've had a pretty good year. Now, who knows what the rest of it's going to be, but if you can do that. Because those people were gol darn excited Saturday when they got done. It was...
Well, we've talked about that and, you know, being at Whitewater, the target's on your back, but that's just the reality of it, and it's what it is. You know, if you happen to come up short against an opponent, you know, often you didn't make their season, you made their career, and that's just the reality of it.
That's an even better line, yes.
But, you know, for us, as you know, we talked to the guys in the past, it's really not about how much you succeed, it's about how you respond when you fail and how you learn and grow from that and how we can become better because of it. I mean, we're halfway through the season, so there's a lot of football left, and yeah, right. I think we're... You know, we're still heading in the right direction, and I believe in these guys and this team.
And he's running through the post-game thing, and being the whiz-bang that I'm at, I'm adding up all those losses for River Falls and La Crosse. We're one game out of first place. I mean, it was not a fun Saturday, much less fun for you guys than for us, but when you really put it back on at practice, when you come back, we're one game out of first place. We got a whole lot of teams ahead of us on this schedule that we got a chance to beat. So start with these guys. Well, I'm not telling you your speech. You got a speech done pretty well, but having given that kind of speech for a while myself, it's like you can't do the shuffle. You got to say, man, let's go, because we got a chance to prove that was a slip-up and not our new modus operandi. Friday's the first day to prove it.
Yeah, and our philosophy, our approach is not going to change. We go into every training session trying to make it the best training session we can make it, have a perfect practice. We've never done it, but we're going to try to, right. And then we go into every game. This week it's against Point. Can we play the best game we've played all year? And, you know, that's how we go about it.
When you talk about getting better, and I know that's, you know, one of the mantras, we want to get better every day. What does that look like? Is it different after a loss like this, or is it different after a win? Do you start to second guess yourself? Do you cultivate outside opinions? Are you looking at more reps? Are you looking at more drills? Are you looking at more film study? Giving somebody else a chance? Switching things up schematically? Are all things on the table for that, or does the process not change and you stick to what has been successful for you previously?
Yeah, I mean, you stick to the process. We're not going to watch more film because we, you know, came up short with the outcome. So you try to be consistent with it, but like yesterday is an emotional day. It's tough. It's hard. Mm-hmm. You're trying to, yeah, of course, the doubt, all that creeps in, but, you know, that's part of it. You got to have the mental fortitude and strength to put that aside and understand it's about the players and the staff, and we got to stick together. You know, our defensive staff's been together for a while. They have a good relationship. Our offensive staff's been together for a while. They have a good relationship. I'm kind of the one that's poking at them and ticking them off, but we got to lean on that. We got to stick together as a D staff. We got to stick together as an offensive staff, and we got to figure this out and solve it, and I think we're going to.
Well, you mentioned in your letter the penalty discrepancy, and I guess when we were running through the final stats, that didn't hit me as hard when we were running things down, I think because we were still in shock. But when you put it and laid it out as eloquently and you did in the letter, and I know that's not one thing that you want to use as an excuse, but I think you bring up a good point where some things need to be looked at closer than others. And it started immediately because there were a couple of times when we were up in the booth calling the game that we looked at each other and we didn't know what was happening because, one, the guy's mic was very low and it failed to travel up to us, so we didn't get, and I know you get explanations, as you mentioned the opening kickoff, I heard a whistle and then I saw a flag and that was it, and we just kind of looked and like, what just happened? And they had contended that the play clock had run out, but I heard a whistle about 5 seconds before Jackson kicked the ball. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I same thing, but I'm going to look myself in the mirror. I got to do a better job looking at the play clock to see that it started. Mm-hmm. But to start a game with a penalty like that, most official crews won't do that. Okay. We're going to figure it out. And never heard the whistle. Music was loud. You can see our kicker with his hand up waiting for the whistle. And so, but, right. You know, that was what happened. And, you know, we'll learn from it. I got to do a better job of staring at that play clock and being aware of that and grabbing the official's attention to make sure that we're not starting off the game with a penalty.
We're not going to run through all 12 penalties,
right.
But the one I want to talk about is the onside kick one. They said that you blocked before one of their players touched the ball.
So we ran that same onside kick against Mary Harden Baylor, and it was successful. There was no issues. There was no conversations from the officials of us doing anything wrong. We run the same onside kick. It's successful on Saturday. Official comes to my sideline and says, we cannot hit. If they are behind the 45-yard line, yep, you cannot hit them. If they cross the 45, then you can. Well, they clearly crossed it, and we hit them. And that was the penalty that they called. I talked to some more officials today, and they think they might have made the right call. I think it's a very subjective situation. Puts the kickoff team in a very tough spot. Is this guy coming to earhole me? Or if he's so, at the end of the day, we probably got to do a different kickoff, but I still think it's a very questionable call, especially in that situation of the game.
Because it kind of was at about 7, rolling slow, and one of those guys kind of bent down, but he didn't come across the 10-yard
thing. He did. He came 3 yards across it.
He was at 40. Of course he did.
Yep.
Then we blasted him.
So, I don't know.
Okay. There,
but as a former colleague once said, don't ever put it in the police officers,
correct,
accountants,
right, yeah, yeah,
teachers, because those officials are not full-time officials.
Right.
They are part-time with that.
Right.
So,
One of the things you had mentioned also that you liked and we were glad to see as well is the that something had been lacking the last couple of games is the offensive explosiveness, the big plays with the touchdown to Mr. Wilterdink and then Mr. Vasey and his big 95-yard kickoff return, and then the wheel route to Tamir that he got a nice touchdown down the sideline. So you know it's there. It's just a matter of how you can get to those a little bit more frequently to really kind of demoralize that opponent and, you know, make them think about it when they're going back on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, you can, you know, when you reflect, boom, turnovers, -2, okay? You put yourself in a – miss a field goal. Make that field goal, we win the game. All right, now you get into third down. All right, we were 1-for-8 on third down. That ain't good, okay? You get into red zone. We were in the red zone once. That was it. And kicked a field goal and made it. Defense showed up and did quite a bit, really good job in the second half. But when you look at those stats right there, you know, you're going to have a hard time winning games. Now, the explosive piece, got to love that. Got to build off of that.
Right.
We got to continue to have that as a weapon for us. But we have to be able to sustain drives and pick up first downs and, you know, throw the ball on third down when you need to.
And complete them. Those are the things you're looking to do to keep drives going. And when you don't do stuff like that or don't gain much yardage on first down, it puts you behind the chains, as the TV guys say all the time. It makes it very difficult. It's just really that place has never been a positive memory for me, and it's kind of a kind. And it's too bad because you don't really think about Stout being a powerhouse, but we have we've thrown the word parity around a lot more, especially that was even before Saturday's all those debacles came about. There's a lot of really good football players around. You've got a bunch. Stout's got a bunch. Everybody's got a bunch. It's got to be a matter of your kids sticking with you, and I do believe you're going to get them to stick with you because I hate to be so redundant, but it's all still right there in front of you. And I hope that, you know, because lots of people give you chin music, that true statement that it's still right there, the conference championship,
yeah,
everything else.
When we started this, we knew this was going to be a unique team. Why? You got a bunch of seniors from the 2020 class. You got a bunch of seniors from the 2021 class. You added some transfers. You got some sophomores that are pretty good that are playing, right? There's just a mix of a bunch of different people that we're trying to get to be a team. We're trying to get them in the right seats and get it right, you know, heading in the right direction.
Right.
We talked as a team that there's, you know, there's four phases to growing as a team. There's the norming stage, there's storming, then you get to norming, and then you perform. So we're trying to work through that storming phase and get to that Norman phase so that we can help get this thing performing at a better level, and I think we're working through that, and we're attacking it one day at a time, and we're trying to fight the good fight.
All right, get right back after it.
All right, that's head coach Chase Rindle. We will welcome him back at the end of the show. We'll talk about Friday's matchup with UW Stevens Point. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, come on up here, Coach Cortez. We have assistant coach and defensive line coach Ryan Cortez with us joining the program. And we'll get to about four of our Warhawk players of the week, offense, defense, special teams, and also scout team players. But Coach Cortez, go ahead, Coach O'Leary.
Nice to see you again, Coach Cortez.
You as well.
Most important thing of the night, who are those people up there on the deck?
That is my wife, Ashley, my daughter, Carter, and my son, Roman.
Hey, come on, kids. You got to wave, right? Yes. Your dad didn't say some loud guy's going to embarrass you up here having dinner. That you should have told him that, Coach. You knew I was going to do that. That's good
that's
to
right.
see you again.
They appreciate the shout-out.
Because they, and people don't get this, you don't know what a sacrifice that group of people makes so that you can spend enough time with these young men to make them good. And that's one of the many things we appreciate about all the efforts you put forward. But the families in the backgrounds don't get enough credit for all the hours that they're patiently waiting for you to get home. All right, Coach, tell us. We'll take this like we never did this before because there'll be freshman parents that won't know. So let's go. Ryan Cortez, where are you from originally?
I'm from Palatine, Illinois, northwest suburb of Chicago.
Okay, I think I've heard of that a couple of that times with the people that you have recruited from that neck of the woods.
Yes, sir. Okay. We've had a young man from Palatine High School, and we have someone on our team from Frem High School, which is also in Palatine, Illinois.
Really? Good. And that your recruiting area, or they're not your position guys? It's just you're good to have Palatine kids on the team.
Yeah, it's always good to have guys from your hometown.
Boy, good answer. I threw you a softball there. All right. Well, what sports other than football did you play when you were in high school, Coach?
I was a wrestler. I played a year of lacrosse. I played a year of baseball. And then football.
You kind of always knew football was the calling.
Yeah. Football was kind of.
What weight did you wrestle when you were a wrestler?
Oh, man, I was all over the place. I was kind of a little guy. My freshman year, I wrestled 125.
Okay.
And then I ended at 171. Did not wrestle my senior year. Wanted to save the body for
football.
I had some back issues in high school, and I knew football was my future. So.
And having done wrestling for 25 years, that's not a good sport for people with backs or anything, because you're getting bent like a pretzel.
Yes.
And no matter what shape, it always seems like it goes somewhere against where you don't want it to go. All right, what drew you to UW-Whitewater?
Came on my visits. I'd been a few places. I had some other visits to some other Division III schools. And came here, and when I left, I just remember on the ride home looking at my mom and saying, this is the spot. The degree, the program, the people around, the vibe I got as I walked around, right, it all just kind of made sense to me, felt like we're a place that I could see myself being successful for the next, what ended up being 5 years, well, six if you continue with the grad school, now turning into a decade.
I was just going to say, it's a little longer than six now, but yeah.
It's literally now my home, and, you know, it was just a place I knew felt right when I was there. So,
who recruited you when you came up there? The linebacker coach? Who was it?
No. It was Jim Zabrowski.
Okay.
He was an offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at the time, who's now at Kansas as the quarterbacks coach.
Okay.
Coach Zabrowski is an awesome guy.
Must have thought a lot. I mean, you talked to him up here, and he convinced you that this was the right school. He must have been saying the right stuff.
Yeah, talked to me a few times on the phone. When I was an 18-year-old, didn't love to talk all that much, to be honest with you.
No, really? That's hard to believe, Coach. You're such a jabberwocky. It's hard to believe.
So, and Coach Zabrowski's pretty easy to talk to if you ever meet him.
That's kind of like Coach was talking about. That's somebody you can call and say, this happened or that happened. I just want to see, what do you think we should do here? Is that still somebody you can talk to?
Yeah, it's not somebody I necessarily reach out to a lot, but yeah, he's one of the guys that I hadn't seen him for probably almost 10 years and saw him at a coach's convention and he knew exactly who I was. And, it's people like that, right? People that truly care and, put the time in to get to know you and those types of things.
And remember you, and that's kind of what people ask me about being in retirement. I miss the kids and the fellow coaches because that really is a kindred group of people that together. Mine are all high school years to be collegiate, but it's still kind of nice to shoot the breeze with somebody that spent some time with you and made you feel valuable. That's fabulous. Where do you live now then? You said this is here. You live in Whitewater?
I do live in Whitewater.
So those guys go to school in the Whitewater schools?
Yes,
are they
sir.
Going to?
Yes, sir.
All right.
My son goes to Lincoln Elementary. My daughter's not quite in.
Not quite old enough, all right. Yeah. So what's Lincoln Elementary? Are you the Warriors? What's Lincoln Elementary? Do you know? The pandas. Ooh, that's pretty cool. I don't think there's many of those around. You'd have to get you'd have to go to some specific spot to get little pandas that you'd sell.
He is a proud panda. Wears his Lincoln Elementary hoodie all the time.
Why wouldn't you be, right? Everybody's a proud panda. Good for you. That's fabulous. All right, let's talk about, you have been here on my little sheet that Coach wrote up for me. You're obviously an alumni. You played here from 2009 to 2013, and you've been coached since 2014. So you got done playing. And then you started your grad assistant?
Yes, sir.
At linebacker, at D-line? Where were you at, Coach?
Yeah, so I did 2 years as a GA with the linebackers. So my first 4 years here, Coach Rindle was a linebackers coach. So I played under Coach Rindle for 4 years. And then when he left and went to South Dakota, John Mish became the linebackers coach. So I played for him for a year. And then when I reached out to Lance at the time, just kind of didn't really have anything to do in the spring, and
right.
I knew I wanted to coach, so I shot him an email, and he said, come see me on Monday, and he's like, hey, what do you think about this? And I said, that sounds good. I'll give it a try, and
yeah.
Fell in love with it. So I hopped on staff as a grad assistant at linebackers because they had an open opportunity for me
right.
there. And then a year later, when there was a staff turnover, I continued on as a year with the linebackers as a GA, and then we had an opening at tight ends, so I actually moved over and coached tight ends for a year on the offensive side of the ball, and then we had an opening at D-line the next year, and I moved to that position the year after and been doing that since.
So for a while. I mean, if you had your choice, that would be where you'd be?
Yeah, love coaching those guys.
Okay, I mean, because I love them because they're the world's largest sprint medley relay team, and the way you get them to play and get on and off on downs is just remarkable. People, it's heartwarming to me as a football guy to watch those guys put forth the effort that they do for you and for Coach. It's exciting watching them play. All right, let's go through the logistics of a Saturday. And I don't know where everybody is because I know Dieselhorst used to jump around down there giving the signals in, and he's gone because he was big and I could find him all the time. Who is sending the signals in now from the sidelines?
That would be Coach Speedy.
Okay, who I don't know. You'll have to show him to me sometimes so I can look at him. Right. Not that I want to give it away. And he's on the headsets to you guys. You up above or you down below? Where are you at?
I'm down on the field. Coach,
you are?
Coach McClinn is up in the box.
Okay,
yeah.
So you got eyes on the field and Coach McClinn's up above and
yes,
he sends it down to him.
Yes,
and
sir.
You guys get the message and off it goes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. When you were coaching this, because we could do this for about an hour, so keep me up. Play number rotation that some people get 6 plays, some people get 9 plays. Is that something you learned from somebody else or when you played? And I know it's not like you're reinventing the wheel, but it's a pretty good system because it keeps all of your guys fresh all the way through.
Yeah, I would say probably 99.9% of the things that I've learned defensive line-wise come from Coach Bullis.
Good.
You know, all the basis and philosophies on everything that we do come from the things that he taught me my first year as the defensive line coach. And, you know, he always told me that 100% of somebody else might be better than 90% or 80% of somebody else who's, you know, tired at the time, right?
Yeah, because if you're standing out there, your hands are on your hips and you're bent over, you're probably not going to make the play on the next down. You're kind of looking to get off. And you guys never do that because I don't think that's allowed's not the right word, but that's not the modus operandi. You do your plays, you bust it, and then you bust it to get off and your replacement's coming in.
Yeah, and the big thing is just keeping those guys fresh and healthy. I mean, we ask them to do a lot of physical work inside.
You do.
And so it's a way to, you know, keep them fresh and keep them, you know, moving full speed and not take a beating every game, even though what we ask them to do is a very physical job.
Right. They're going to get a certain amount of it, but you want to be the hammer, not the nail, and the one taking it. Josh wants me to get done in a minute. I'm trying to think of how I can wrap my last 12 questions up into one. That won't be good. So you got a sprint medley relay team made up of very talented young men. 3 members of it are no longer participating. You look to the sideline and look at those sides of beef that are not participating. Then you look over at the new sides of beef and go, I'm going to train these guys to be as good as those guys were. And that's a big changed because you're thinking those three were going to play a lot of plays, and then all of a sudden there's a lot of young men, and again, they're all coming in and flying around like you coached them to do, and I'm very proud of the effort that they're putting forth, but it's still not the same. You know, those guys have got a lot of reps. They've done a lot of things. A lot of pressure on you to get those young guys ready.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's a big trust thing. I mean, I trust the heck out of my guys, and, you know, those guys who, you know, aren't necessarily playing for us right now, they do a great job of teaching the young guys and, you know, showing them how to do things. And you talk about our rotations, right? They're really locked into making sure those guys are doing it right. And, you know, it's honestly just trust the heck out of those guys to go play hard, right? And that's all we really ask. And they do that for us.
And those three guys are in every one of those huddles when they come to the sideline. They're not dinking around down the other end, or they're down in the middle of your things trying to get these guys to do stuff right or better or give them a hint as to how things can go. That's such a credit to you and them that they get the team concept, that it's not about me and how many tackles I get or whatever, but it's about how we get done. Well, I got a lot of guys I got to talk to here. Okay, it's really nice.
Yes, you do.
All right, appreciate you.
It's defensive line coach Ryan Cortez. Thank you, coach. Who do you want first?
Wilterding.
All right. Mr. Wilterding, come on up. While he's getting up here and getting settled, again, we have a lot of great quarterback club sponsors that we need to thank on a weekly basis. Got to give it to Jones Dairy Farm, Ketterhagen Motor Sales, Wolf Mini Storage, Doring Landscape Company, Birdie Bombs, Burton Chevrolet and Whitewater, Pete's Tire, Rick's Eastside Pub and Grill, L.R. Hine Construction, E2 Retirement Consulting, Swipe for Change, First Citizen State Bank, and, of course, Brandon and Christy Hefner, in memory of Marsha Ronsby's, the grandmother of former Warhawk linebacker Hawk Hefner. All right. We've got a couple of players we're going to talk to. The first one is one of the offensive players of the week, Brian Wilterding. Welcome, sir.
Yes. Round of applause for Wilterding.
Yes, absolutely.
Brian, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Louder! Yeah. He wanted to know what I was going to ask him. I wondered if he was not listening to the pregame pep talk here. That's all right. We'll get through it. You be loud because they don't want to hear me. You are from Libertyville, Illinois. What school did you go to?
Libertyville High School.
So there's one high school in Libertyville?
Yes.
And of the enormous levels of high school in Illinois, what level is Libertyville?
6A.
So it's big?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the little prep says you didn't play football till you were in high school because?
No, Brian? I did not play in high school.
You didn't play in high school at all?
Nope.
This is even better. Okay. Why?
I was focused on basketball. I was going to play my senior year, but I had some knee issues. Tore my tendon in my ankle as well, so it kind of stopped that process.
In there, be louder. Tore your what?
A tendon in my ankle.
Okay.
So I couldn't play my senior year.
And you did that basketball summer camp?
Yep.
You really were going to play football your senior year, and then you got hurt. Okay, yep. So what was your long suit in basketball? You were a really good defender, really good rebounder, really good shooter. What was your long suit?
Defender, slasher, rebounder.
Okay. I love that because you don't say I shot a whole bunch of three-pointers and they all went in. You just sort of, good for you. And I bet your coach appreciated that.
Yep.
Were you pretty good at Libertyville High School? Were you contend to go to the state tournament?
I was pretty good. I dealt with some knee injuries all throughout high school, which kind of slowed me down.
Yeah.
It was frustrating, but yeah, I had some good games.
How about your team? Would you go to the state tournament? Yeah, I mean, everybody starts in the regionals.
We won conference my junior year and went to the regionals.
Okay, good. So you were on a pretty god darn good team.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Then what, pray tell, would get you to play football at UW-Whitewater?
Oh, that's a long story, but...
Well, we only got a few minutes, so get into your bridge version.
Yeah, I wanted to continue to play sports because I did have some athleticism, and... I ended up finding a trainer who actually played at Whitewater, Anton Graham. He played with Coach Rindle.
Okay.
And he actually got me in contact with Rindle, and that's how it all started.
Right. And he said, fabulous athlete, wants to try it.
Yep.
How'd you pick offense from being a D-back? With your defensive prowess in basketball, did they say you're playing split, you're playing offense, or did you just come and they said, go on over that group?
I wanted to play receiver.
You did?
Yeah, I've got a receiver build, so.
Yes,
sense.
You do.
Yeah.
And you have used it pretty successfully. Okay, that's fabulous. Okay, your role model is your mom and dad. First off, I remiss in my duties. You got me so excited about that. Tell us about your family, mom and dad first.
Both really good people, very generous.
Names and jobs.
Matt and Jody Wilterdink. My mom ran a nonprofit for most of her life, and my dad was in private equity.
Okay, private equity, like investments?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
In Libertyville? Your mom, yes. With the nonprofit, was in Libertyville?
North Chicago.
North Chicago.
Yep.
So she had to go a little bit to run to do the business?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Sisters and brothers?
I got a sister, two sisters, one named Bethany and one named MC. One lives in Chicago, one lives in Nashville. They're both working right now.
Good for them. Yep. They go to Whitewater? Where'd they go to school?
Both went to Michigan State.
Wow.
Yeah.
We were lucky enough to get you here. Did they want you to go to become a Spartan too? Or you wanted to come and play sports and you knew you could play here?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. When you got here, what do you think drew you in the most?
Probably just how everything is process oriented and getting better every single day. And I've found the value in that, not only in football, but in life. So.
Ooh, good answer. Somebody write that one down. That was good. Well, you're making big points here, Wilterdink, going up the right way. So you model yourself after Devontae Adams. That would be good. Now, here's a hard one. Do you want him to go play for the Bears or the Packers? I don't like this answer. He's laughing at me already, so we're not even going to go that one. All right, here's a big one. National Honor Society and Academic All-Conference. How do you become academically all-conference? Obviously, you have good grades. Is there a recognition where they said, here's Brian Wilterdink, and he was an academic all-conference?
Yep.
Because I'm going to do this to a few of you others. This is pretty remarkable because John Q. Public thinks football, they're just this high above cavemen, and they really aren't that smart of guys, and you are. That's where you go, yeah, I'm pretty smart.
Some would say.
Yeah, ooh, okay. This is not going as fast as I thought. All right, what is your degree going to be in, Brian Wilterdink?
Marketing.
Marketing. Fabulous school for that. Yeah. UW-Whitewater's got a good spot. When you get done, are you aspiring to go back? Stay here? Where do you want to go?
I want to stay in Wisconsin.
Really?
I love it out here.
Well, I love that. A big push right there for Wilterdink. Okay, good for you. That's a good answer. Okay, we got to be done. Okay, Brian, it was very nice talking to you, my friend.
Appreciate you guys. You.
All right, that's Brian Wilterdink. All right, who do you want next?
I don't care. Spires.
Well, that's not an answer.
Spires.
All right, Spires. Jacob Spires, one of the Scout Offensive Players of the Week. Welcome to the show.
Hey, he can't be as good as you two. You came up on your own. He had to do it on his own. Mr. Spires, how are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm having the time of my life up here talking about football. Toma, geographically closer to some other schools in this league. How'd you get to Whitewater?
I chose Whitewater because of the challenge. I played tackle in high school, and they wanted me to come play tight end here. So that was something that really, stood out to me.
That you were going to move from tackle to tight end because you aspired you were going to get a lot of passes thrown to you, or... Because, hey, I hate to tell you, that isn't going to happen.
No, I just wanted a challenge, try something new. I think I played tight end my sophomore year in high school before switching to tackle my junior year. So.
Okay, great. All right, let's do the regular stuff. Hi, Jacob Spires. What school did you go to?
Toma High School.
Toma High School. What sports did you play at Toma High School?
Football, basketball, and baseball.
Which of the other two, which one would you pick?
Baseball.
Why?
Love the game.
Ooh, good word. Okay. Let me guess, because this is radio, so you can't see a pretty large fellow here. What position did you play?
First base, and I was a pitcher.
And a pitcher. And what was your long suit on that one? You throw the fastball by him, or?
I had a good off speed, good curveball.
Really?
Yeah.
You were outwitting them out there.
Yeah.
I would be absolutely scared pantsless looking out at the mound with you up there going, man, this guy throws a fastball. I am heading for the dugout. Good for you. You probably caught a lot of people off guard with the off-speed stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, outstanding. What's your degree going to be from UW-Whitewater when you get done?
Business management.
Business management, and you aspire to do what?
Hopefully one day run a business.
In Toma, or are you going to go where there's a job? What do you want to do?
I don't really know yet. Haven't decided.
Okay, and you're only a sophomore, right?
I'm a freshman.
Freshman. Okay, outstanding. Your role model is your dad. Why?
Good guy.
You can't get enough of those. That's exactly why. Did he teach you how to play football?
He did, along with my grandpa.
Okay, so, and you played little boy football all the way through at Toma, got all the way through. Did any of your geographically close universities come and ask you to come and play for them? Lacrosse?
Not really lacrosse. I talked to Platteville, Stout, River Falls.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Somebody had to be coming after you because you're too good an athlete. All right, good. And you said Whitewater would be the right spot.
I did.
Lucky for us. All right, now, scout team player, tell us a little. Love the hunted fish. You better do that one. What does that mean? Like, what are you, what's your, okay, if I, you're going to tell me some fabulous story about your career hunting or fishing, you only get one. What story are you telling me?
Last year, I shot my first bow buck off the ground.
Oh, from not up in the stand?
No, sitting next to a tree.
And that's better because it's harder. You'd have to.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
And how big was this beast?
Eight pointer.
And yeah. You gutted it out, and then you took it and made it into sausages or?
Yep, snack sticks.
Ah, beautiful, because never mind. Well, my son did that, and I did not teach him how to do that. I'm sorry. Poor job by Jacob Spires not mentioning his mom and dad and sister. Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to ask him that. My apologies, Jacob. Mom and dad.
My mom's name is Katie, and my dad's name is Craig.
What do they do for a living?
My mom is a health teacher, and my dad is the buildings and grounds director at Toma High School.
Ooh, so you've been involved in the school district for your whole career.
Oh, yeah.
So you could get in the gym, the field, whenever you wanted to, because your dad had the key?
Yeah.
Siblings?
I have a sister that goes to UW Oshkosh for nursing.
Ooh, boy, you're hitting a lot of two teachers and a nurse, Jacob Spires. That is famous. My lovely wife was a nurse, so I appreciate that. Next to teaching, I think that's the most admirable. Okay. JV games, you get to play in those?
Yeah.
Okay. And are you, what's your best part about that? You love to knock somebody on their keister when you're blocking them? What's the best part of the JV games? Not winning, that's the easy one. What part you like?
Learning the game, especially like down here, it's a lot different from high school.
Yes.
Yeah.
How so?
Especially playing tackle in high school to playing tight end here, it's just a lot of different schemes and knowing both run and pass.
Because people who are listening to this know this already, but our offense is very complicated, and one of the most complicated has got to be Drake Martin's. And if you're in that neighborhood tight end, you're doing a lot of moving around, switching sides, a lot of stuff to remember. And, of course, they start it at a level where you guys can understand it, and then it picks up. So when you get to the big show, you've got they use the same terminology.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's going to go up there. When you get up there in the next following years, you can be more successful. Fabulous. Very nice talking to you, Jacob Spires.
All right, Jacob Spires. All right, who do you want next?
Or Saban Stadel into the end.
I figured. All right, Mr. Morris. Noah Morris, one of the defensive players of the week. Come on up.
Good to see you. All right, did a poor job last, and I'll do better. Noah Morris, tell the listening public. Yes, I'll get up on that microphone and be loud. Where are you from?
I'm from a small town in Wisconsin called Raymond, and I went to Union Grove High School.
And Union Grove, for the thousands of people in Illinois listening, you mean little town, because like what, 10? How many people are in Raymond?
Raymond's small. It's like, I don't even know, like 500 people.
Okay, and then you went to Union Grove because there's no high school. And
yes.
Okay, and Union Grove is gotten to be, I'm old, so way back when it used to be a really small school. It's gotten pretty good size now. How many kids go there now? Just get a rough estimate.
Roughly 1,000 kids.
It is. And I'm telling you, it used to be like 200.
Small. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Guess they're drawing all the kids from around like you that are coming into the high school. All right. Tell us about your family. Noah Morris.
Well, my father's name is Thad. He's a finance manager at a supply company for like, it's kind of like Uline.
Okay.
And then my mother is a nurse, but she mostly just gives people semaglutide now.
Is them what?
Semi-glutide.
English, what does that
mean? It's basically Ozempic.
Oh, I got it. And, of course, everybody wants that because some of us are a little fat and need to lose some. I didn't look that way, Josh. That was just a quinky dink. Me, I'm talking about me because does your mom make house calls? She ever been to Milton? I'd like her to come over. boy. Okay. What sports did you play when you were in high school?
I was just a football player. I played wrestling my sophomore year and quit after that.
Didn't dig it?
Did not dig it,
okay.
No.
And because I was a wrestling coach for 25 years, I would have been after you on a pretty much daily basis because I don't care whether you knew how to wrestle or not. You were athletic enough to be able, whoever gave you the speech didn't get it. Were you a heavyweight, 220? What were you weighing back then?
I was 215, but I'd wrestled kids who were like 300 pounds on JV, so.
Yeah, because, of course, there aren't enough people to get 215, so they say, well, come on over and wrestle this 315-pound guy. Way back when, there was no weight limit, so those guys, I remember my brother wrestled a 400-pound kid one time. It's not a pleasant memory for him. All right, let's get off of that. Your role model is your dad. Why is that, Noah?
He's a good man. What can I say? He's a super humble, not very outspoken person. He's just pretty just kept to himself. But it's something you respect a lot because he doesn't talk to a lot of people. He just keeps to himself, but he provides for the family. And he's a dude who leads by characteristic traits instead of just being somebody who talks about himself 24/7.
Right. You wrote down that he's a man of faith. Talk about that.
Yeah, so my whole family's a group of whole family of faith. My dad's saved, my mother saved, I'm saved. Grew up in the church. Basically, he led me to the faith. It's been a great walk. He's a dude that just leads by example, and he's got his roots down strong.
Okay, now make a note of that because that's a nice little sentiment. Here's the next line he's got written down. He got into football because he loved the bloody noses and putting his body on the line. So he's a nice little mixture between that and knocking people on their behind. And I got to go, you've been doing that for us for a couple of years now. So I'm very proud of you because you got to be thinking sometimes knocking the daylights out of people kind of goes against what you're talking about, being nice to other mankind. But you're doing it for the betterment of your team.
Indeed.
Within the framework of the game and playing with a great group of people. You, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but I call you guys the world's largest spent relay team because there's 10 of you, and you all run like the wind to get your plays on and your plays off. How many plays do you get on and before you have to go off?
I think all the D-line goes to the same rotations. It's usually six on, three off, unless sometimes you get like maybe you get a three on, six off once in a while, but usually it sticks to the six on,
and
three off.
And there is a package that will remain nameless where you have three down linemen instead of four, so that,
indeed, yeah,
that changes. Do you, in that three down linemen one, do you rotate with that, or is it always the same three down linemen?
Usually I do not, but last game I was in there.
I was just going to say, you were last time.
Yeah. So we had our one of our defensive tackles go down, and so I was kind of the next man up in the situation, so I just took on the responsibility there.
Yes, and I love the way that you guys play. When you do tricks, whatever you call them, where you change positions and rush responsibilities with a linebacker, that signal comes in from the sideline. You two both have to answer back and forth so that you both know what's going on, and then whatever game you're running, you run.
Yeah.
Okay, it's hard for a guy of your enormous girth when you are the inside guy and now you got to change with the outside guy and get outside for contain. But is that the hardest part? You'd say, Noah, is there a hardest part, or it's all pretty much one?
It's all pretty much one.
Okay, that was a good answer because I don't want to go too far down that one. You, that's fabulous. Okay, and I'm not making this up. You enjoy long car rides. What does that mean? You live in Union Grove. It's about 10 minutes away from Whitewater, isn't it?
It's an hour. It's an hour.
All right. My geography's a little off. All right. Where do you take these enjoyable long car rides?
Anywhere and everywhere. Long car rides to the gym, long car rides back from games. It's just nice being in a car with yourself, just relaxing.
And chilling.
And chilling, indeed.
Are you listening to something or you're just chilling?
I'm listening to music sometimes, or I'm just, I had the window down. I'm a window down guy. I don't like air conditioning.
And I'm unfortunately married to a woman who loves air conditioning, so that's not a good move for me, but I love that you're a window down guy. Last one, and then I'll let you go. And I'm not making this up. These are on here. 4.0 student in high school. And first team, all-conference, sophomore, junior, senior, which is good. That's not a surprise because you're a big guy and you're a pretty good athlete. You never got a B your entire high school career.
It's the one because I took a bunch of AP classes.
Oh, okay, so you got extra points for those. So if you did get a B, it bounced it
up. I got a B plus one year in a class my senior year.
What are you doing, you slacker?
It was the easiest class ever, too. I thought I was smarter than the teacher when I wasn't. Let's put it that way.
How do you like that, Miss Farrington? Smarter than the teacher. Is that ever? What was the class?
I think it was some kind of a health class, whereas... Yeah, I was a senioritis case.
Yeah, got that. I know better than... All right, we got to be done. What... I got to stay over here. Is that me, Hammond?
No.
Oh, all right. What's your major going to be?
I'm a finance major.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I asked you that already. I was hoping you were going to be a Phi Ed teacher, because that would have been fun. And you're going to go back to Union Grove, go bigger city? What are you thinking?
Union Grove. I don't want to be like... Finance is my backup option. I want to be a cop, so.
You do?
Yeah.
Are you taking any credits in that?
Yeah, I'm a minor in criminology.
That's fabulous. Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to skip that. Isn't that a minor? Could you get a...
Yeah. I need a backup option, though. I worked for Racine County Sheriff's Department this summer, and they like they as a water patrol assistant on Lake Michigan. So I just ran. I was on a boat all summer, just cruising around, watching people be drunk and dumb.
God, boy, okay, that is when I talk to you later. The other one, that is your unique thing right there. That is a fabulous one. And what a pleasure.
All right, good job, Noah Morris. All right, our last one is Colin Stadelman. He is our scout defensive player of the week.
I'm talking to him. You don't get to talk to him.
This is going
to
go for probably another half an hour at this point because coach is.
You're never going to quit talking to him. Hello, sir. How are you?
Get up there and be loud.
How are you?
Good. Into there, be loud. All right. This is going to, well, I shouldn't say that. I hope this is fabulous. All right. Tell the listening public what your name is. You. Name.
Yeah. My name is Colin.
Louder and get closer.
My name is Colin.
So you got to hear him talk now because he's not from Union Grove. You'll see the notice difference between him and Noah here. Okay, yeah. And where are you from, Colin Stadelman?
I'm from Switzerland, Bill Banker. It's like a small village in Switzerland.
Tell us the name of the small village in Switzerland.
Bill Banker.
Bill Banker. I'm just making you talk. I just enjoy listening to you talk. Yeah, that's what we're doing here. Okay? Holy mackerel. Okay? So we got, I'm getting the other part at the end. Tell us a little bit about, it says your cousin got you involved playing football at 15th birthday.
Right.
When you're now, see, when we talk to people from foreign countries, a lot of people, football is soccer. We, Colin, are not talking about that. We're talking about the same football you have now.
Yeah, we're talking about American football.
Okay. Now, good old United States of America, they play football in Switzerland.
They do, yeah. It's really small sport. You have a couple private clubs, and my team back home in Basel, we had a team of 16 people. So you
stop on the whole team?
Yep.
And you're playing 11 on 11?
Yep.
So not a lot of spare time when you're off.
No, you play
regular games like.
Yep. You got 15 minute quarter, and you play offense, defense, and special teams.
Well, I bet you're in tremendous shape then.
Thank you.
I holy All right, I'm tired just thinking about that. Okay, so you're playing over there. You're kicking butt and taking names. How do you get from club sport in Switzerland to the beautiful United States of America, Whitewater?
So pretty fast after I started playing football, I was like, I want to go to the U.S. and play the real football. So I texted, I think, like 150 colleges with my highlight tape, SIT grade, who I am.
And you take the SAT in Switzerland also?
I did, yeah.
Are you a smart fellow?
I had like 1,100 on it.
Okay. That would be yes then?
So then Ashland University, it was a small D2 school in Ohio, reached out to me. I committed there, played there for a year. It was really expensive, so I couldn't afford me another year. Then I entered the transfer portal, and luckily Whitewater reached out to me, and now I'm here.
What do you play? What position?
The end.
You play defensive end?
Yep.
Okay. So you're in Coach Cortez's group all the time, getting taught all these fabulous techniques, get pounded on by the big guys, work on your techniques to get better.
Yep.
How many coaches did this 16-man team have?
Four.
Really?
Yep.
So like one guy for every four guys, that's pretty digit. Let's say I got this politically correct. Did they know anything about football? Did you? I'm sure you've learned more in your last 2 years, but were they familiar with American football and had played it or had watched it?
They watched it, and I learned like the basics of it.
Okay. And then
I came here, and then like.
Okay. Who'd you talk to at Whitewater? Who was the first person that's you talked to at Whitewater that said, yeah, transfer up from Ohio?
Cortez.
Really?
Yeah.
And he said, we saw your film, and we want you to come up here.
Yeah.
You talk a lot like Cortez here, awfully quietly. Right here. All right. Well, that was the stuff I had to do. Here's the stuff I want to do. The bottom line says you were a chef for a year.
For 4 years, yeah.
Well, you trained, and then we got to go down that one. All right. Colin Stadelman, tell the listening public how... Let's go with that. School, how'd you get into that? First, you go through, because you don't do it the same way we do it here. Yeah. How do you do it in Switzerland?
So you got primary school and secondary school, and that takes 9 years. And after that, you kind of decide if you want to go to the university or if you want to go to a trade school and learn for like me, like chef or on constructions or something like that.
Okay.
I went to the trade school for being a chef. That took me 3 years. Then I got my degree as a chef, and then I worked 1 year as a chef. And in that time, I was reaching out to colleges for the U.S.
Were you playing on this club football team while you were chefing?
Yeah.
Okay, because that was all part of it. Is that right? That's right. While you were being a chef. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, well, pardon me, Mr. Grammatical. I'll try not to have a full paw like that again. Okay, so what's the best thing you make while you're being a chef?
Everything you want.
Desserts.
Oh, no, not desserts. Like, everything salty.
Okay, so I guess anything I want. It's not okay. So
I can do desserts. It's just not mine.
That's your long suit.
Yeah.
Okay, so here it comes again. This is called a softball where you get to pick an easy answer. What would be, okay, we're coming over to your house, and you're going to make the best thing that you're at. What are we having for dinner?
Probably a ribeye steak with some... you know risotto, Italian rice?
I do look like a bumpkin, but I do know a little bit about other stuff. Yes. Yep.
So we do a ribeye steak with risotto and then asparagus.
I'm out. Okay. I'm sure regular people would love that because that sounds like a very healthy, well-balanced meal.
Yeah.
That is fabulous. And thusly the part, I'm not interested other than the steak. But no, that is... okay.
I can do some fries for you.
You know, you
could
get it. Yeah, you probably could. But it'd be a healthy surprise, and then I probably wouldn't eat it, and that would be good. All right, now you can download the app, which I don't even understand what that means, but can they get that in Switzerland if they downloaded the app?
We are worldwide.
Wouldn't that be exciting if your mom and dad got to hear this on the, because they do podcasts of these things afterwards, so if they want to hear, they can if you want to do that.
Yeah. That's right, because they in bed right now, they can hear it.
What'd he say?
They in bed.
How do you know that? Did you call him before you came on, or you just know the time zone?
No, I know the time zone. It's seven hours.
All right. I'm not messing with that. All right, so they're listening to it already. That's good. All right, talk about your mom and dad. What are their names?
So my dad's name is William. He works in an office. And my mom's name is Shanine, and he's a vet.
She's a vet?
Mm-hmm.
In this small town in Switzerland?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sisters or brothers?
I got one older sister, and she is studying social work in Basel. It's the next bigger city.
In Switzerland?
In Switzerland, yep.
All right, let's just do this, because my kid went to River Falls, which is about 4 hours too far away from me. How in the world are they handling? They have already done a year of it, because you've been in Ohio. Mm-hmm. How do they handle? Are you FaceTiming them?
Yep, we FaceTime every day at 12 p.m.
Every day?
Yep.
Let's see. He talks to his parents and he can cook. Are you sure? Could you put yourself up for adoption? I'd like to adopt you. Holy mackerel. That's for Joyce gets first draft and then I'm after her. Wow. That's really something. You don't have any classes during that span of time, so you just know that that's the time that you can talk.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea what a fabulous story this is? Because you're pretty much lowballing this. Like everybody in the universe is doing this. This is a pretty big deal.
Thank you.
Are you happy with your choice?
I am, yeah.
Okay. Did I ask you what you're going to be when you get done?
I try to get out of the kitchen. That's why I'm studying exercise science right now.
Right.
And I try to go into like a PT and do something like that. Yeah.
$1 million question. Beautiful scenic Wisconsin, back in Switzerland.
Back in Switzerland.
Really?
Yep.
So you're going to go back and say, I was at this place in Ohio, and then I had a really good time at UW-Whitewater, and we were really good in football, and now I've come back here to tell you stories and be a physical therapist.
Yep.
George Costanza would say, that's a high note. We're all right there.
Thank you, Colin. Man, what a pleasure. Colin Stadelman. Nice job. All right, Coach Rindle, come on back up here. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about Stevens Point. We got about 2 minutes to do that because Coach went about 20 on Mr. Stadelman. No, it was great. It was great. Thanks to, again, Quarterback Club sponsors, Ground Zero, Larry Catchell, Home Lumber, Badger Bob's, Rocky Rococo, Space Saver Corporation, Jessica's Family Restaurant, WBD Incorporated, Collegiate Marketing Incorporated, and Bedloft, 841 Brewhouse, Second Salem, Buckhorn Resort, Coach USA Van Gelder Bus Company, and Off Season Academy. All right, Coach Jace Rindle, back up here. We're going to talk about Stevens Point. It kind of messes things up now on a Friday. So we've had Friday now out of the 3 years that we've been doing the broadcast, and the reason for this is Coach.
We got a big band competition on Saturday at the Perk, which is Doc Hayes, our awesome director of our band here at Whitewater, has put it on or been a part of it for many years, and it's a full house. It's crazy. There's tons of high schools. The stadium is packed, and I remember being a player back 05. It was going on back then. So
yeah, you've been doing this
just,
for a long time.
Yeah, it's just part of it.
So Coach and I were talking on the way over here. So how does this process work? You guys get your schedulers that come to the athletic department from the conference, and then you say, oh, we have a home game scheduled this. The band thing is scheduled for this. We need to move this to Friday. We need to contact Stevens Point. How does that process work with the scheduling?
Yeah, I don't even know because we just walked into it. It was already set.
It was.
Yeah, so I don't know about next year, but, I mean, we have our conference. I think probably at our spring meeting as head coaches, that's probably something that will get brought up.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, because we obviously do high school football games, and now it's the last game of the year, and some of them are going to the playoffs, and I'm not yelling at you like we're going to, you better have good food or we're not coming on Friday because we're coming no matter what.
What they're serving.
Of the story being, it's not good because Friday is for high school, Saturday is for you guys, Sunday is for football, but the NFL doesn't follow that, so I guess nobody else has to. It's hard, you know, because we want a million people at the Perk and everybody wants to go watch the high school teams. It makes them make a decision, whereas otherwise everybody could go to both. So,
how does this alter everything for this week? You guys have your normal process after game day, Sunday to Monday to Tuesday, and then throughout the week. Do you guys have to skip one of those days? Do you have to combine things? How does that shuffle the routine for you guys and the players?
Yeah, so we just bumped everything up a day. So we met on yesterday, Sunday, and put the game to rest, and that was really our Monday, so to speak. Right. And then we went out on the field today and had a training session, which would be our Tuesday, and then tomorrow will be our Wednesday, and so on and so forth. So
you guys have had pretty dominating results against Stevens Point the last couple of years. You guys are in a position, I think, right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you're not going to obviously underestimate everybody. You're going to focus on details, and you're going to go out and try to correct a lot of things. This is definitely a game that you guys are going to be probably as focused as you have been all season long up to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think our attention's there, right? We took one on the chin last week, and we got to be better. And like I said, I think last week was our best week of practice. We had a great one tonight, and just excited to get back out there with the guys and take it to the pointers.
And that, and we talked about that at the beginning, and I'm sure your kids have thought the same thing. Friday night is different than Saturday. So you do you eat a meal 4 hours before you play like you do all the time, and you just try to get it as regular as you can.
Yep, so we'll have our 3 p.m. meal. We'll have chapel at 4:15 probably. We'll actually do a walkthrough in the morning at 10 a.m. just to make sure guys are up. I know some guys have classes, but for people that don't have classes, they want to make sure they get up on their feet and are moving around with it being a night game.
I know you guys have had, already alumni weekend, and there's homecoming against River Falls. Is there anything going on in conjunction with this game for people that are attending? I know there's always special nights in correlation.
Yeah, it's our Military Appreciation Day, which, typically you try to do in the month of November, but we weren't able to because of our schedule.
Right.
So that's what we got and what we're honoring this Friday.
Okay, so people...
What goes along with that?
Yeah, people want more information about that, they can probably hit up the athletic department to go to the website.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Right. Yep.
Okay, what do we know about Stevens Point so far that you guys have seen on film that you can share with the audience and just the general public?
Yeah, I think they're fighting to kind of find their identity and who they're going to be. It's the third year of Coach Vinay as the head coach, who was a longtime offensive coordinator at Oshkosh, and when they were humming and playing a lot of playoff games at Oshkosh, he was kind of the catalyst of their offense.
Okay.
So he's a really good coach, and they're going into year three with him at the helm. So they're trying to get their feet underneath them and trying to figure it out. They've been battling some injuries, so we'll see how it goes. But they got our attention. We're excited for the opportunity that we have ahead of us on Friday.
We've already talked about the injuries along the defensive line. You guys are missing a couple guys. You're halfway through. Is this the point where there needs to be a little bit more treatment and recovery time for the back half of the season? How do you handle that for guys that may need like an extra day for that? Or is it just the same as it always is?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. We communicate with our sports medicine team, Coach Pesh and I. We meet with our sports medicine and sports performance every Wednesday to just make sure we're on the same page. We get a daily injury report from our athletic trainers, so that helps the communication lines, and that tells us what they can do in the weight room, what our student athletes can do in the weight room, what they can do at training, and so on and so forth. So,
what the limitations are? They can't sprint. They can't. Okay.
Correct. So it's our trust is with our athletic trainers, and it's been a pretty good relationship.
You got anything else, Coach?
No, all right. Sorry it took so long, Coach. But
this might have been one of the best there.
I think so.
You have awesome players, and we love hearing and learning the stories and the backgrounds and stuff, and it's always fun to do it at these shows. So.
I got two things here. I got to thank Dalton and Kennedy Heckle for what they do with the quarterback club and the show and all what goes into it. Then we also have our auction raffle coming up on Saturday.
Oh, that's right. We had them on the pregame show a couple of weeks ago, and it went awesome. So that's for football, baseball, and men's basketball. Correct? And that's on Saturday.
Saturday, great event. All of our student-athletes on our team sold their 5 tickets, and hopefully there's a good crowd there. And Joyce Follis, thank you for helping with all that you do, especially with the auction and all the tickets.
All right, so that's awesome. Right. Kickoff, again, 7 o'clock. We're on the air on 105.9 The Hog at 6, but obviously we want you the perk. If you can't make it, listen, and we'll have the podcast. We'll have the Quarterback Club Show podcast also at 105.9thehog.com. That's Coach Chase Rindle. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
And good luck.
Yeah, yes. Thanks,
all right, that's Bill O'Leary. My name's Josh Goldberg. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Real McCoys. We're at Rick's Eastside Pub and Grill next Monday for a Quarterback Club Show. Appreciate you coming and listening, and go Warhawks.